Blistering insight, well-researched fact, insightful comment. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. But welcome, because this is none other than the world-famous Leicester City Pubcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners in the Foss Arms tonight. Myself, Tim Killer, good evening.
Good evening, Tim.
And Norm, good evening.
Good evening, Tim.
And it feels, Killer, like the buzz going on in this place tonight. Ethel, the cleaner's even in having a drink. It feels like the good times are back all of a sudden.
Good times are rolling, yeah. Lots of people were questioning Enzo and questioning whether or not the slightly stuttering performances had been completely represented by that defeat to Hull. And obviously there's one or two people on the show this evening were predicted that Leicester City would go and lose on Friday evening. But
so 46 seconds into the show, he's gone early.
He has gone early. I mean, can you just imagine being the person that predicts that Southampton will come at Leicester, will hit them really fast on the break, and I don't know, maybe score four, perhaps even concede one. we were a Callum Doyle mistake away, I think, from a perfect performance. The only thing I'm just struggling to work out is how on earth did we only score four, Norm? I mean, you know, if Mavididi presumably had a right eye in his head, he would have seen Jamie Vardy for a tap-in. Ian Atchoo's come on and missed an absolute sitter. I mean, it was chance after chance. If these are our promotion rivals, Tim, then bring it on. We've absolutely and utterly destroyed them. Beautiful. It was a fire exit after 80 minutes. They'd had enough, haven't they? The Leicester City bandwagon has royally stoked into the championship. Bring it on. Casey, magnificent. Vard's back on form. And dare I say, even the hapless Vestergaard now looking imperious. It was absolutely sensational. Great to see James Justin back, by the way. I thought he was good. Dakka on the bench. I know he didn't get a run out, but I think that's encouraging. As you will detect from my voice, I thought it was brilliant, top to bottom. I thought the football that we played, brilliant. I know sometimes a bit iffy. I know sometimes, you know, both teams were looking like they were giving away goals. Not bothered about that. It was a thoroughly, thoroughly brilliant Friday night's viewing for Leicester City fans. And obviously, I've got the smugness of predicting the almost incredulous 1-4 win.
He has, Norm. I'm afraid to say the predictor table will be having a slightly, upside down look to it when we come on to it a bit later. But yeah, I mean, I've got to, you know, I've been a bit on the fence. It's been a bit, we've said, haven't we, last couple of weeks, it's been an odd season. That felt like the breakthrough game. We've said, haven't we, for a while, look, September is going to be the bellwether really for this team. And you know, we also said this would perhaps be our toughest week of the season. Saints away, Norwich away. In hindsight, they've shipped 9 goals in 2 games, which I'm guessing they'll be quite happy because they normally ship 9 to us, don't they?
Well, they do, particularly on Friday night. So, I mean, that's the last few Friday nights we played them on TV. They've conceded 13. They must just love the idea of us popping down south. Look, no, I think it's the first time in a long while, actually, not just this season and not just under Maresca, where we have just looked a constant menace. I mean, I appreciate the first couple of goals you could lay down at Southampton mistakes, or the fact that we're pressing them into mistakes, I suppose. But the way that those chances were executed and finished was superb. I mean, the pass from KDH to McAteer was just, and how McAteer controlled it and slotted it past the keeper was frankly magnificent. And I just think I'm as upbeat as Killer, and by the sound of it, you, Tim. And I think it was just one of those performances where we constantly looked a threat. I mean, over the last few games, we've looked decent in patches. We've looked like we're the better side, I think. We've looked like we can control the ball. It looks like we can pass it around. But we've just lacked that cutting edge. Whereas on Friday, every time we got the ball, every time we attacked, it just looked like something could happen. I thought, both the wingers were great. Vardy looked keen as mustard again. Obviously, that and the early goal is going to help him. And like Killer alluded to, how we haven't scored, well, frankly, probably broke our record of 9 from a few years ago is slightly bizarre, really, because we had chance after chance, and on another night we would easily have scored 6 or 7. It was just a nice game to have against one of our alleged promotion rivals. Not quite so sure, judging by how they're playing, where they're going to whether they are actually going to be one or not. But to be able to enjoy the game rather than being on the edge of one's seat for the entire time, waiting for a last-minute winner or hoping that we don't concede a last-minute goal, was absolutely marvellous. And I went to bed with a smile on my face.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I agree. I mean, it was almost, if it could be, it was almost a disappointing scoreline by the end of it. Lots of things to pick out of it. Let's start with the team selection. Start with the main man. We talked about getting him back. Kelechi's not really done it. Was it 22 seconds in, Killer? Vardy back on target. And I heard him interviewed, or rather it was a written interview actually with the club's own website, and he just really sounded enthusiastic about the training and what Maresca's bringing. And you know, for a player of that age and experience to be, you know, presumably he could have talked about anything in that interview, and I thought that was really encouraging to hear him, you know, almost talking as if he's learning. And it does seem to me that this learning is permeating the club at the moment, doesn't it?
It does. I get the feeling with Jamie Vardy, I don't know if he is learning. I don't know how you teach somebody that's got a Premier League medal, FA Cup, England caps. But I tell you what about Jamie Vardy, and I agree, Tim. I didn't read the interview, but I saw an interview with him on Sky afterwards when he stood next to Mavididi. And what we're talking about here is somebody that's absolutely embodies the spirit of the club and understands the need as a senior player to do that in terms of how he's supporting the manager. They try to sort of like get a reaction from him about why Mavididi hadn't squared the ball, wasn't having it, literally just brushed it straight under the rug and would just said, yeah, you know, sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes as a striker, you go for goal rather than stick your head up. Everything about him was totally supportive. I think this is why, it's another example of why Jamie Vardy is and will continue to be the greatest player that's ever played for our football club. Because it would have been easy for him, let's be honest, as a legend, to get a little bit grumpy. He wasn't getting a game, stuck his, you know, I'm pretty certain that Jamie Vardy might have found a home somewhere like Forest or Everton if he'd really got the ump about not playing. None of that. Total professionalism. I think he's got that spark back, by the way. I saw a Jamie Vardy. Of course, he's not going to be as lightning fast as he was in his mid to late 20s. But I tell you what, he's a threat. He's an absolute threat. And that's scores. Should have scored two had he got the pass from Mavididi. Everything about him is absolute quality, class, and the ultimate club footballer.
Yeah, Killer. That, I mean, absolutely. And as you were talking there, I was just there's a couple of things I remembered. One of the interviews or something I've seen is that he stated that, like in training, when they're playing all these passes, he was kind of alluding to what it must be like for the other team. He said, "There's nothing you can do." He said, "There's nothing you can do when we play like that," and it was like sort of an utter confidence. But I just think that someone like Vardy, if you asked any, well, including some Premier League sides, by the way, if you asked every Championship side who they would most like to have leading their line up front, I'd be very surprised if 90% didn't say Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, the only ones that might disagree with that number would be Leeds with Joel Pirro scoring another couple, mightn't they? But yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. We've said a lot about him, and we'll continue to, because as Killer says, he's the greatest player ever to wear the shirt. What about the back? When I saw the team, I was very pleased that Doyle had moved to centre back, because we talked about it on the show last week. I was slightly more surprised which centre back wasn't playing.
Now, can I come in here? Because it was slightly surprising, and I'm just kind of go away from the direct question a little bit. I was thinking that whilst Vestergaard had a fantastic game, frankly, Doyle does seem to be struggling. He was probably the negative. He's making a few too many mistakes. I was thinking that actually that side that played for me is borderline our best team, I think, aside from the two centre-backs. And I'm thinking that when Cody's fit, I'm wondering whether actually Fass, who's the player you're alluding to, not playing, which is clearly resting him, or maybe he's picked up a little knock on, like a little niggle on international duty. And Cody and Fass, I think, will be, if we're playing a back four, would be our primary pairing now. I don't know.
Do
you
think he's rested him then, Norm? He's not injured as far as I can research.
Yeah, I think with the fact that we've got Norwich midweek, I think he's rested him, because I don't see any other reason why he wouldn't. I don't think he's played, you know, badly enough to be dropped. If he was going to drop a centre back, it wouldn't have been Fass. So I think he's just rotating the squad, using all the, you know, the players he's got, because frankly, he, at his disposal, he has a set of players that can like be switched around and frankly not alter the strength of the side. I mean, if you bring Fass in for Doyle, or Fass in for Vestergaard, or Cody in for Doyle, or Cody and Fass in, it doesn't weaken the side, does it? You know, we can bring, you know, we've got that blessing, you know. Vardy at front, we love Vardy. He's not going to play every game. We can bring Iheanacho or Dakar on for him. You know, it's not significantly weakening the side. We've got four wingers.
Six wingers.
Well, I mean, the ones that are, you know, I think, you know what I'm saying. I think that as a team, as a squad, we've got the luxury of being able to change it around a little bit when we've got a run of games. I'd like him to be a little bit careful doing that, because I don't disagree with resting players now and again, but I kind of like the idea of, you know, one of the things that Rodgers was very good at was keeping a winning side. And I think when a side gets a bit of confidence, it's not unreasonable to think that whilst maybe, you know, Cody probably is our best centre back, I think he needs to earn his place really now, with Vestergaard putting in a performance like that. So, you know, I think I don't want him to chop and change too much. I want the team to get a flow about it, but I think some of it is that he's still just trying to find out which is his best side. And I suspect that the team that be played on Friday night isn't going to be far off what he plays against the better teams in the division, because I think he'd look at that and think that is pretty well my best side, aside from, like we say, maybe Cody and Fass, but certainly attacking wise. So yeah, I think he's just got that luxury of being able to like mess around and tinker and rest players when he wants.
So the two bits of that I would challenge, Killer, are Ndidi, and he did have a better game and he did score, but I still find that odd. And I would have said, because you're going to have a brilliant game, Mavididi, because for me, of our numerous winger options, and I do, on a serious note, Norm, I think any of those six wingers could play, because I think the two you're probably excluding are Wanya Marcel and Albrighton, aren't you? But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if those two do get some time this year. I can't believe Atkin's not going to. He's only just come in. And Fatawu looked like the best of the lot. Matt McAteer seems to me like he's got a first team place. So, I mean, what about you, Killer, then? So, is that close to our best side? The fast one still seems odd to me. I don't know why he needed a rest and others didn't, but maybe Norm's right.
I think Norm probably is right. Don't get me wrong. I don't know about you guys. The team had me scratching my head, and as I text one of my mates, you know, they'll do that Super Six on Sky where you've got to get all six results predicted. That's easier that's easier than predicting the Leicester City team. You know what I mean? It really is. It's difficult. Now, at this stage, I'm going to buy into Norm's theory. I'm going to buy into it because I like it. I like the idea that actually he's got a squad and he's keeping them all in the pan and all sizzling, which I think is really interesting. Because actually, there's a couple of things. I mean, we would have said, I think, after his debut, that Cassaday would have got a start by now, and yet he hasn't, which is a bit odd. Indeed, it was one of these. He was like playing him, even though he might have gone. So you were thinking, well, are you going to keep playing him? He might get injured. Then you can't sell him. And then he pops up. And by the way, he's now scored three times this season. All three have been brilliant. Have you noticed? He's gone from a guy that sort of scored two goals in about 5 years, and he's gone and scored three absolute pearlers. It may well be as well with Wilf Ndidi that maybe now the transfer window's closed, maybe his head's going to settle a little bit. And the Faz ones was a bit odd. But again, you know, you think about the Vestergaard one. We all were sort of like absolutely incandescent, haven't we, when Vestergaard first started playing. Tell me if I'm wrong. He didn't put a foot wrong on Friday night.
Yeah, but one swallow. I'm not. He's out of his depth.
No, do you know what? Sorry, to over talk you, mate. But most unprofessional on this most professional of podcasts.
What, like we're professional?
Yeah.
He says lapping at an IPA.
No, but I think that Vestergaard actually injured. I'm finding it difficult to not. Like him in ways. I think he has.
Okay. Watch him try and defend a header then.
No, I know, but he has played. Okay. I don't think he's going to start when Cody. I think Cody and Fass are going to be the main two in the middle. But look at how all the players went up to Vestergaard at the end of the game. It was like noticeable that he was getting like singled out for his performance. Maybe it is because it's a one-off. And I'll tell you something else I noticed. You know, looking at Dakar on the bench and all the players, and I know when you score a goal, that you're always going to be happy, whether you're a bit annoyed where you are or not. But do you know what? That entire Leicester squad looked joyful and pleased. And not just because we'd won. They look happy to be there. And I think, you know, you look at some players at other clubs that have had a little bit of a tantrum and, you know, want to get away. You can tell they're miserable. And I don't think that's showing at Leicester. And I think that's a massive positive moving forward. Because someone like Dakar could easily have thrown his toys out of the pram, but he's been reintegrated. He hasn't played, but he will get a game. And I would imagine he'll put in a really good shift for us. And I just think the positivity and the happiness and the like, playing for each other and the enjoyment's gradually coming through. So obviously Maresca's, you know, his way is starting to work properly, isn't it?
I think so. Can I just a couple of things, Tim? A couple of observations. One of them is obviously a little bit closer knuckle, but I'll say it anyway. Southampton, I do love the fact they've got a footballer called Willie Smallbone. I mean, that's got to be a porn name, isn't it? If ever you were going to create a porn name. But the one that did make me laugh is at half-time, they bought on Soleimani, who obviously they've paid a fair bit of cash for, and they've made this big, big deal that he was recorded as being the fastest player in the World Cup, you know, faster than Kylian Mbappe, worth bearing in mind. I don't know if you noticed, within the first 5 minutes, he dropped his shoulder, and he's just got this massive kick of pace. And I thought, oh, hang on a minute. And then for the rest of the 40 minutes he was on the pitch, he was absolutely rubbish. I mean, seriously crap. He got nothing in. He's got an awful first touch. And just what you need from your new summer record signing with nothing riding on it, you're 4-1 down, goes and lashes out at Justin and picks himself up a three-game ban or whatever he's going to get. It really was quite an impressive debut from the boys.
Almost as impressive killer as Russell Martin suggesting that the teams were fairly equal and both made mistakes. And both, you know, both were good sides, and it was an entertaining game by both sides. It's like, come on, mate, you're clutching at straws.
Two games left, Russell.
He's got a problem now. To be fair, it's probably quite fortunate to play them in September rather than August, when they decided to sell most of their players, didn't they, in August? So, but you still got to beat them. But yeah, you'd be worried, wouldn't you? I do think he's a really good manager, and it's taken him a while, I think, Swansea and MK Dons to get things going. So I wouldn't be surprised if he eventually gets it right. But by then, we could be off into the stratosphere. I had a quick look, Killer, at the table. So we're back into the top two, by the way, folks. I'm sure you know that already, but Ipswich won again. So anyway, if there was one downside over the weekend, Killer, the teams that are emerging at the top all won again, didn't they? So, you know, Ipswich have been absolutely solid with not the most straightforward start to the season in terms of fixtures. Norwich, we've said, look good. We're going to find out more about that, excuse me, in a couple of days' time. Hull are up to fifth, so maybe there's not quite as much shame there. And then Preston, I find it hard to believe, Killer, that they're going to hang around. I mean, Tom Cannon was their main striker last year, wasn't he? But of those that are hanging around, Ipswich and Norwich, I think it'd be good, guys, if you could just drop some points. And the other one for me is Sunderland, who had a ropey start and then have not lost in four.
Yeah, and you look at it, don't you? Well, look, what you know about the Championship is, generally speaking, who you think is going to be in the top six often isn't. And it is your surprise packages. Ipswich wouldn't be a massive surprise. Had a brilliant season last season, got a few quid. Bookmakers, like I say, at the beginning of the season, 12-1, which I thought to myself, that it feels like they're a club that could move and impose themselves on this league. Great start, as you say, and it looks like they're probably in for the long haul. Norwich, we've noticed in the past. Preston, it appears, once again, they're a football club that just seem to be well managed and just developing nice and slowly. Will the top two, maybe not, top six? Possibly, because obviously the flip end of the table is, I mean, how long are Borough going to stick with Michael Carrick? I mean, he can't buy anything.
Isn't that incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about the job he did not a year ago, a few months ago.
Yeah.
And as you say, can't even buy a win now.
And you just wonder, look, he's on borrowed time, isn't he? And you just look at that, and you're quite right. It's weird with managers, isn't he? Comes in, he does an amazing job. I'll be the first one to say, we were in the pub talking about who should replace Rodgers. He was certainly in my conversation. He was in many people's conversation. He looked like he'd done a great job. But how do you do what he's done and then suddenly it just goes so horribly wrong? I don't get it at all. But they're in a spot of bother. I suppose the other result, just to keep your eye on, is, and I think it's a bit ominous, and that's Leeds.
Yeah, I'm worried about the striker.
Good manager. He knows this level of football. And it's one of these where you get the feeling if they just start to build a bit of momentum, again, they've had one or two people that might have thought they were leaving the football club. They're not, so they're now in it to win it. Just keep your eye on them.
Anyone keeping you awake at night, Norm?
Apart from his missus.
My own snoring.
Is that actually possible?
Yeah, I think when you snore like a rhino, that's not unreasonable that you occasionally wake yourself up. Maybe it's just I'm getting older and just need the toilet. But no one keeps me awake at night, because I was just flicking through the fixtures. When we were chatting just then, and it's just such a far cry from the Premier League. I know there's some big name teams there, but you know, every game we play, I will go in expecting us to win, really. You know, I don't think there's any team that we should be fearful of. And yeah, like you say, you know, keep an eye on Leeds, but they are, you know, about 6 points behind us already. So, you know, and there's two promotion places. I want us to win this league. I want us to win this league in style. But do you know what? As long as we go up, ideally not through the playoffs, it doesn't really matter, does it? We just want to get back in the Premier League. You know, as Killer's always alluded to, it's not the being relegated that matters. It's the not getting up. So as long as we get up, then, you know, fair enough. And I'm pretty sure we will.
And wasn't it great, by the way, guys? And I know we keep banging on about it, but I'm going to continue to bang on about it. You watch the live games at the weekend. You've got VAR decisions taking ages and ages and ages. Did you see the Arsenal goal that was disallowed yesterday? You know, this absolutely ridiculous rule where it's a player like just standing offside, but he was at some point in the last 58 minutes involved in the build-up. Yeah. Absolutely tedious. What is brilliant, every single Leicester City goal that went in on Friday night, VAR still goes through your head, by the way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
VAR still goes through your head thinking, I'm leaping around like an idiot here. Should I actually be sat down? And then you kind of realise, oh, no, I can, because this is pure football. This is pure football in its unspoiled form. The other great thing as well, the Premier League's gone to this point of it likes to, the 3 o'clock games like to go on till about 6 o'clock now in the evening. Have you noticed? You know, it's got to the point where the additional time that used to be added that has become almost like another half of football. Now you've got Spurs. I mean, in the injury time at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, there was two goals that are sending off. I mean, you know, you wouldn't know anything about it. So absolutely bonkers. Last thing, by the way, I just want to say, because you probably haven't spotted it, guys, that Neil Warnock, who I love, I think he's a brilliant character, he has announced that he's going to leave Huddersfield Town after their game at Stoke. It sounds like he's had enough.
I saw that was happening and I didn't know why. So it's him, is it, rather than...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say he's really done an incredible. I mean, even this season, they're well clear of the relegation zone at the moment, aren't they? So, yeah, maybe age has caught up with him.
I mean, yeah, I heard him interview today. Actually, he said he actually alluded to the fact that he felt he wasn't wanted.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, no one's ever wanted him.
No, they just needed him. Bit like Nanny McPhee, you know. You
know, she, like you're only, snoring.
Only, yeah, only comes when you need her, not when you want her.
I mean, it was just what. Sorry, go on, Norm.
I was going to say the other thing on managers. I quite like Postecoglou at Spurs. I think he's a. I do like the way he's interviewed, and I enjoyed how he was challenged about his late substitutions because he brought some players on, you know, like well after the 70th minute or 75th minute. And he said, "Well, I realised that there was at least half an hour of the game to go."
Right.
Did you hear what he said about Pep, by the way? Because Pep was eulogising, saying, "Oh yeah, I think he's brilliant. Me and him have had a really good meeting and stuff." And they asked him about it. He couldn't remember. He turned around and he went, "Did I?" Well, I remember having a 2-minute phone conversation with him.
the other slightly non-Leicester City one, but I heard Martin O'Neill talking today. But what he was talking about was the situation at Arsenal with Arteta changing keepers. So they put Raya in instead of Ramsdale, which was a bit of a surprise, but probably no more of a surprise than them signing Raya. But Arteta, when he was questioned about that, was saying that he's done a lot of thinking and he can see a situation at Arsenal, but also at other clubs going forward into the future, and obviously influenced by Pep to be thinking slightly differently about football, where a goalkeeping substitution is actually something that quite regularly happens during a match. And then, of course, O'Neill, when he was asked about it, referred back to the playoff final and the penalty shootout that never happened when he brought a goalkeeper on. Do you remember him bringing on Zeljko Kalajic?
Yeah.
For, was it Kevin Poole?
Yeah.
Kevin Poole. So he was asked,
Kevin Poole, yeah.
Yeah. So he said, you know, he was just asked about it, but I think he was poo-pooing the idea. But I don't know. What do you think, Killer? Is that because and there's so many substitutions allowed now? Can you see a situation? I suppose it would. Could it be a reaction to a team bringing on a big striker that you bring on a taller goalie or something? I don't know.
I'm not buying what Arteta said, Tim, and it's one of these situations where him and his team have been put in a very awkward position. They've bought Raya, haven't they? And I think the problem. I think because we would all agree that Ramsdale's a great goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But the issue that he's got is he isn't a good footballer, and he's gone and bought a footballer. And as soon as he bought him, you thought to yourself, "Well, if you bought him, you're going to play him. When are you going to play him?" And he stuck him in, and he's. I think rather than face the rather awkward questions of, is he now your number one? And I saw him on Sky getting quite spiky about it, actually, because he knows he is going to be his number one. Make no mistake about it, this guy is going to be his number one. He's bought him for a reason. He's going to play the game of I'm going to go between the two goalkeepers, and he's even bringing the substitution thing. I'm not buying it at all. I think he's bought him. It's his number one. He doesn't want to tell Ramsdale it's his number one. He's telling him a little porky and telling him all these things. I get the feeling that poor old Aaron, in the next few weeks, when he's got a couple of Carabao Cup games under his belt and pretty much nothing else, will be turning around to the boss and going, "You've just sold me a dummy here, haven't you?"
Yeah, I agree. I think you're spot on there. I think that is exactly what it is. It's like not daring to break the news to him. But gradually it will be, you know, Ramsdale plays less and less, and then eventually it will be he's hardly playing at all. I mean, you're right. The reason people don't bring goalkeepers on, because you tend to bring players on because they're, you know, they've charged around and they're tired or having a terrible game. You know, in reality, I mean, I know goalkeepers can have bad games, but it's much more of a confidence thing with them. And I don't think substituting someone's going to make a difference. And let's be clear, the only reason people have, I think, have goalkeepers on the bench is, well, and nowadays is because firstly, they're allowed so many people on the bench, but it's in case the goalie gets injured, because it's such a specialised position.
So, injured or central.
Yeah, injured. Yeah. Absolutely. So if you substitute a goalie on 60 minutes because you fancy, oh, let's bring him on just because he might make a difference, which clearly is nonsense, what happens when he gets sent off or injured? You haven't got another goalie to bring on. So it's just not going to happen.
Yeah,
interesting. Interesting. It was interesting, wasn't it? I mean, if you're talking about footballing, goalies, seeing Southampton play out from the back, absolute disaster for them against us. And it sort of made up for the fact, didn't it, that, you know, Hull did it against us and got away with it. But I think we did say last week, didn't we? You know, if lesser teams than us keep on doing this, be it the goalkeeper, be it the defenders, I think it's going to suit us quite well longer term. Let's come forward and have a little look forward then. So, We said that September was going to be a difficult set of fixtures. Lost 1, won 1. We got Norwich coming up. We got Bristol City coming up. Then we got Liverpool coming up before we get into October. I don't know if you guys have had a look into October, but it's a much more balanced month, I would call it. So we're going to be able to have a real judgment call. Kelly, would you say, let's say we lose to Norwich, where does that put us in September, given how good the display against Southampton was? But, you know, we have lost to Hull already.
Yeah, that would be disappointing. I mean, Southampton, I suppose, looked on paper to be a tricky fixture, in so much as where they are, the fact they've got a decent squad and they've got what appears to be a good manager. Let's not forget they'd lost the game before that 5-0, and the way that they were playing, well, they could have easily been 5-0 down at half-time. So even though it was a great performance, there's a little bit of me thinking, in terms of a test, we very much might have played them at the right time. If we were to go and lose against Norwich, you would probably say that is a definite below-par month. I think the really difficult thing is the whole result in isolation feels like just one of those typical Championship losses, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does to me. Yeah.
But if we were to go to Norwich and lose, as you quite rightly say, Tim, this is a proper test. You know, this is a team that I'm convinced will finish top three. So this is a proper test. So I think that the Norwich, should we lose, will be much more demoralising, which, by the way, is why I think we won't.
Would you take 4 points, Norm, from Norwich and Bristol City?
I suppose so, if I'm... I think, look, that's killer's allegiance. I think Norwich are a decent side and I think they'll be up there. If you don't lose to teams that are around you in the table or you expect to be around you when you're away from home, that's a pretty decent result. So whilst I think we should go on and beat Norwich, I think we are better than them. A draw will not be a bad result. So yes, I think if we got a point at Norwich, if you look at it, we take the Southampton games already happened. If someone had said you get 7 points from Southampton away, Norwich away, Bristol City at home, I think that would have been a very good return. and therefore 4 points on the next two games makes sense, as long as it's not a point at home to Bristol City and a win at Norwich. You know, if it's that way around, that'll be disappointing.
All right, then, Kelly, I'll ask you a slightly different question. 4 points from Norwich and Bristol City, but knocked out against Liverpool to complete September. Mm-hmm. Or 3 points, but you beat them.
But we beat Liverpool.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll take the latter simply because I think over the course of the Championship, there's so many points to be gained. If you think about that in chronological order, lose against Norwich, disappointing. 3 days later, beat Bristol City, tails back up. Go to Anfield, and they've got one mother hubbard of a squad there, by the way, now. I mean, a proper, proper squad of players, and beat them. Then your tail's not just up. It's literally dangling off a cloud. So I think
that's a hell of an analogy.
Yeah, well, I looked them up on the internet before you asked me the question.
What about you, Norm? So I'd go the other way on that. I'd rather have the 4 points and get knocked out and don't care one hoot about the Carabao Cup this year.
Well, I think you.
I'm
just going to keep it short because I am prone to a good waffle, as you know. I'm with Killer. I think I'd love to go. I mean, yeah, I'd love to go to Liverpool and beat them. And frankly, they'll certainly play a very, very, very second string side, compared to what they would normally do. So, you know,
I think it would be
great. And like you say, if you look at the fixtures, I mean, we've actually got Preston fairly early in October, but if you look at the fixtures we've got coming up, I mean, I'm really not worried about any of them. If we got 3 points from Norwich and Bristol City, beat Liverpool, we probably aren't going to be beaten again until we're back in the Premier League. So I'm not really going to worry.
Right then, Killer, what about some team selection for Norwich? So let's concentrate on Norwich, shall we? What would you do differently to the weekend? It is only a few days away. If you two are saying, I have to agree with you about the Belfast thing because I can't think of any other reason he wouldn't play him. But on that basis, he's back in, right?
I could tell you what the team is because I've got 25 cards. I've put Leicester City the squad on each card. I've shuffled the cards and I'm just laying them down in random order. What's it going to be? I haven't got a clue. The obvious thing would be we just keep it the same. If we follow what Norm's saying, he might very well. Justin took a heavy challenge at the end, didn't he? And I don't know about you guys. I winced because he's a lovely lad.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, it was a horrible challenge, 4-1 down. It was a really stupid thing to do. And I winced a little bit. Wouldn't surprise me. I think two games in 4 days, too much for that boy. So I suspect Justin will come back out, in which case it will be Faze comes in. He'll go back to that back four that we've had before. I expect probably everything else to look pretty much the same too.
What about you, Neil? I mean, the only other ones I can see, I wonder if Vardy won't play another game in such quick succession. So that would obviously be, well, I assume it would be Kelechi, not Dakar. And the selection I found curious before the game was Mavididi ahead of Fatawu.
I don't think that Mavididi ahead of Fatawu was a surprise. I think Mavididi's played quite a lot and I think he's looked pretty decent. And to be honest, I mean, remember the Fatawu, there was a reason why he only brought Fatawu on in that the cameo where he did look very, very good against Hull. I know he didn't have a huge amount of the ball against Southampton, but he didn't quite look the same, did he? It wasn't that blazing start. So I wouldn't change the wingers. I think Mavididi looks really good. I like him, and I think McAteer's undroppable. I think he will be our player of the season, McAteer, if he carries on like this. No doubt about it. So with regards to the defence, again, I think Killer's right. I think Justin will probably have a rest just because he's coming, he is coming back from an injury. He hasn't played a lot. And again, just on this rotation side, we have got a big game against Bristol City on Saturday as well. The games are coming thick and fast. He's going to rotate. And I've got no problem with that. I think it would just be nice to see Cassidy perhaps come in for I thought Ndidi again did well, to be honest, on Friday, but I do think, and it'd be nice to see Cassidy come in for him. And so a few changes, but nothing major. We're just in this lovely position where we can do it without worrying.
Just a quick observation, Tim.
Yeah.
Quick observation, and just a theory: is Enzo planning already for next season in the Premier League and thinking to himself, "I don't want this team relying on a load of loanees that may go back at the end of the season. So actually, I'm going to play the guys that we've put on the contract."
Well, he got them in. He got them in, didn't he? I mean,
But all I'm saying is getting them in your squad is one thing. But actually, has he got a focus on who will definitely be here next season? Well, let's put our stock in McAteer. Let's put the stock in Mavididi for a start. Indeedy, if he stays, therefore he plays. Doyle, because we've got him from Man City, it's likely would be able to sign him. Whereby maybe Cassidy, for instance, plays really well. Chelsea did something. Chelsea are absolutely hopeless, aren't they? Bringing back, I don't know. Just a theory. Is he actually going to turn around and go, rather than do a Notts Forest and get up with a load of low knees and then you have to dismantle the team? Does he want players that are actually contracted to the club?
Yeah, could be. I mean, it's an interesting idea. I think if Cassidy is going to play one of these next... Well, if he doesn't play in the next two, I think he'll be a bit worried. And I think Chelsea will be on the phone, won't they? Saying, what's going on up at Leicester? You know, we sent this guy out for experience and he can't get in the team. And he, by the way, he's come on and scored within 3 minutes. What more do you want him to do? I think he's perhaps more likely to play in the Bristol City game, though. I'm not sure he's going to, having not played him, throw him in away at Norwich. I do wonder if he might change the wingers. I agree with Norm about McAteer. Not sure I agree about Mavididi. I think, you know, if I think back watching that whole game, I thought Fatawu really had something that the other wingers didn't.
So you think they might drop the man of the match?
Well, that's the problem they've got now, isn't it? Because he had a fantastic game. But if you were to say to me, which of those two would I put my house on for the season, based on what I've seen, that guy had something about him.
But you live in a council house.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all right. It's not my house. Well, that's why I can afford to be free and easy with it.
You don't even own the kennel that you put the cat in at night.
I think the team he plays against Norwich will be. I think this will be a real eye opener as to how we are going to operate. I think by the time we have our podcast next week, we will know whether we're kind of right with regards to the tinkering and the squad rotation, because for me, without a shadow of a doubt, maybe someone for Doyle, maybe Fass for Doyle, and Cassidy for Ndidi, but I wouldn't, against Norwich away, another one of the teams that are going to be up there, they will come at us a bit more. They are not going to just sit back and play for a point at home. They're just not going to do it. I think we've got to play a similar team. And I would absolutely not change the front three. I would not touch them.
Yeah, I just think he will, Norm. I think he's a tinkerer, but let's see. Right, Norm, should we not bother with the predictor this week, Norm, in terms of reviewing it?
Leave it. Yeah, it's boring anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean,
no, come on, Killer. You can have your day in the sun.
I know Leicester won 4-1. How did you go on?
Credit where it's due. This is the most extraordinary prediction there has ever been and probably will ever be that's gone right. Killer incredibly predicted Leicester City would beat Saints 4-1. If you didn't listen last week, guys, have a listen. He actually did do it. I got it even worse. I thought we'd lose that one. Shame on me. And well done, Norm, for at least getting 2-1 Leicester and getting something out of that. Leaving Norm on 5, me on 6, and Killer leading the predictor table with Trump Wales IPO with 7 points. So we've got 2 to predict this week, guys. Don't think I'm going to be brave enough to predict a defeat again, but Killer, as a reigning star of the moment, give us your Norwich prediction.
Well, I think it's a game that probably neither team will want to lose, and therefore I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
Okay, Killer comes off the winning trail. Norm?
I agree with Killer. I think it's a game that neither team would want to lose because, of course, neither team ever wants to lose a football match. So I'm going to go to 2-0 Leicester.
Yeah. I'm going 3-1 Leicester after watching that Saints game.
I don't know why. It just makes me laugh every time he says it. It's like you know the joke's coming, but you still laugh. It's just brilliant.
And then Bristol City killer?
Right, well, a game that neither team can afford to lose. Bristol City, Big Nige comes home. God bless him. I think we're going to have too much for them. I'm going to go 3-1 Leicester.
Just on that, apparently Big Nige maybe doesn't come home, which would be hugely disappointing. I think I've heard he's had an operation, so I'm really hoping he does come home, because that was going to be an emotional moment if he does. But yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. That's me. What I heard.
And any man that can fight off a pack of wolves with a stick, exactly. I would hope he can. I hope he can manage to like pop up to say, "All right, lads."
What about that, Noel? I'm going to go 3-1 again. So I'm going to say a week of a double 3-1.
Well, I'm going to go for the same quantity of goals in the game, but I'm going to go for them all to be for Leicester. I'm going to go for 4-0 to Leicester.
4-0. The two Bristol City mates that Norm and I know won't be enjoying this week's show. What about final thoughts, guys? Killer.
I just want to say well done to the lads on Friday night. I just thought we were treated with yet another fantastic away victory. We've been spoiled with great away wins under Brendan Rodgers. We had some absolutely outstanding nights. This was just another one of them. Make no mistake about it. To watch your team win 4-1 away from home is an utter pleasure and privilege.
Spot on. Norm.
The championship's brilliant, really, isn't it? That's my
opinion. It is. Yeah.
Fantastic. We're all off to buy some earplugs in case Norm falls asleep during the next show. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.